Imagine that. We question the maker of the mountains. That's absurd. You know, I love baseball. And so one of the great baseball players right now is Mike Trout. You know, actually, I was trying to think of a Texas Ranger that I could use, and I just could not think of a Texas Ranger that I could use for this illustration. I'm sorry about that. But Mike Trout is a great perennial MVP candidate. He's going to be recognized as one of the greatest all time. And so let's say I know a lot about baseball, but let's say that I was watching Mike Trout in batting practice. Who am I to start shouting out advice to Mike Trout? Hey, you may want to bring that back elbow up a little bit, Mike. You maybe just your stance a little bit. I am not in that position to give advice to this great hitter. Now, I did come up with a Maverick example, Luka. All right, Mavs advance to the next round. That's good. But who am I, if I was watching Luka, you know, taking some jump shots and free throws, who am I to start giving him advice on how to play basketball? I don't follow famous chefs. Gordon Ramsay, is that a famous chef? Is that someone who's well-known, has his TV shows? Who am I to criticize or to give advice to Gordon Ramsay? What's a famous musician? I'm so out of touch. Who's a famous musician? Louis Armstrong, all right? Who said that? Back from the peanut gallery over there, man. Who am I to tell Louis how to play the trumpet? Is that what he did? All right, yeah. Hey, your cheeks are a little bit too big, Louis. You know, bring them in a little bit. I don't know. But who am I to give advice to someone who is an expert in their area? You know, when we are in the presence of greatness, we don't offer advice. We stand in awe. Who are we to question God? Really, anytime you question God, you are essentially saying that you know better than He does. And anytime you obey anyone else, you're saying that those people, that they know better than God knows. So God brings them to this mountain, and He reminds them that I am God, I command, and you obey. That is the expectation, and we will never fully submit ourselves to Him until we get that. And that's why God takes them to this mountain and He puts on this show to remind us that we are small and He is big. He is worthy to command. Second thing He does before He gives these commands, back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, after He says, I am the Lord your God, He reminds them of the kind of God that He is. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So God reminds them that He does good things for people. In this relationship, in this covenant that we're establishing, that's what I want to do. I want to bring you out of slavery. He reminds them, 3 months ago, just 3 months ago, you were back in the land of slavery. You had no rights whatsoever. You were just begging for your freedom. You were crying out to me. 3 months ago, you were hopeless and helpless, but now I, the Lord your God, have delivered you by my mighty hand. He reminds them in Exodus chapter 19, even before the Ten Commandments, He says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God wants to remind them that my commands are always intended to set you free from slavery. You know, too many people think of God as some megalomaniacal control freak, that He just wants us to obey, that He gets some perverse pleasure in just commanding and watching us all scurry around doing everything that He wants us to do. And people, that is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible commands to set us free. Listen to the words of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Be little, let God be big. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. This is why He commands us to make our paths straight, to deliver us from slavery. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring to your body health and nourishment to your bones. And this is consistent throughout Scripture. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Submitting yourself to God has value for all things, for this life and in the life to come. And listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in his Sermon on the Mount. He makes these demands of us. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. That needs to be first in your life, but then he says, and all these things will be added to you. Everything that you want will be given to you. Our problem is that we're looking for these things that we want and we need in all the wrong places, just like Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, you need to submit to me. I need to be number one, but in doing that, I'm going to usher in everything that you've ever wanted out of life. So sometimes it comes down to a matter of trust. Do you trust God? Do you believe that he has your best interest at heart? Because not everything God says will make sense to you. But we say to ourselves, God, if you command, it is to deliver us from some form of slavery. And so obedience itself is an act of worship. It's saying, God, I believe you, and I believe that you're more wise than I am or anyone else is. All right, let's look back in Exodus 19, 5 through 6, because before he gives them the commands, he wants them to feel small and make sure that they recognize that he is big, to remind them that he can be trusted, but he also says something else before he gives the Ten Commandments. Exodus 19, 5 through 6. He says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, again, this is an agreement between God and these people, he says, then out of all the nations, you, this family of Abraham that we've been following from the book of Genesis, that this family will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. You will be a group of people that will communicate who I am to other people. You'll be a kingdom of priests, and you'll be a holy nation. You'll be set apart. You'll be special. So he says that before he gives the Ten Commandments, because God wants us to know that obedience is important and that it leads us to be the people that we've been created to be. He's saying to these people, the way that you obey me will make you stand out. The way that you obey me will facilitate your ability to be a priest to the other nations so that they can see me as well. And so for us, obedience is one way that you will be able to communicate to others who God is. When we live a life of radical obedience to God, that's when people notice us. God says, I want you to be special. I want you to be unique. I want you to be different. You need to be different in order to carry out this mission that I have for this nation to be a special nation. But of course, that privilege and that honor extends to us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter, using the same type of language, he says, talking to Christians, Jewish, Gentile, no matter who you are, he says, you are a chosen people. He uses that same language. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possession. Or those of us who grew up in the King James Version, you are a peculiar people. You guys are strange. You guys are different. And you're all of that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. And when we are obedient people, we point people to God. We give God the glory. Think about it this way. You're watching, this is like the sports illustration Sunday for you. Thank you, Lance, for your communion meditation. But in keeping with that, let's say you're watching a football game, maybe a high school football game. You're up in their stands, and you see the team gets out there, and it looks like they have no clue what they're doing. I mean, they're just like looking around. They get in the huddle, and they get out of the huddle. People are wondering where they're supposed to line up. The quarterback is pointing to people. The play starts. The quarterback goes to the right. Everyone else goes to the left. He drops back for a pass, and there's no one blocking for him. And they just look totally inept. Well, one conclusion you come to is that these guys are terrible. This team is a terrible, terrible team. But another conclusion you'll come to is that this team is not well coached. You see, the performance of a team is a reflection on their leader, a reflection on their coach. And if your life spiritually is just all over the place, not only is it a reflection on you, it is a reflection on the God that you serve. So when you obey, God looks good. When you disobey, God looks bad. And so Peter will say later in that same chapter in verse 12, he says, live such good lives among the pagans, the unbelievers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll find reasons to criticize you. They're going to see your good deeds. They're going to see your obedience. And that will lead to glorifying God on the day that He visits us. Obedience is an act of worship. It points people to God. Have you noticed we haven't even looked at the Ten Commandments yet? Well, we don't have enough time to do that. I mean, that's a whole sermon series in and of itself. But I do want to make one observation. Here are the Ten Commandments. The wording is a little bit longer in Exodus chapter 20, but this is how they are basically summarized. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. I want us just to look at the way that they are arranged and just make that observation. You see, the first four of the Ten Commandments basically are addressing our relationship to God. We have this vertical responsibility, this vertical relationship with God. We recognize who He is, that He is special, He is one of a kind, and we honor Him as God. And then the last six concern our relationship with other people. So there's this horizontal relationship that we have as well as obedient people. So we align ourselves with God. We recognize that you are God. We're going to keep you first. There's going to be no other rivals. No one else is going to speak truth into our lives but you. And then we're going to live that out as we love other people and we take care of other people. In fact, the Ten Commandments are basically just the summary of the law. There are several other chapters that get more into the nitty-gritty, and we'll talk about that next week. So there's this vertical and this horizontal aspect to our obedience. And doesn't Jesus sum this up so beautifully in Matthew 22? You know, someone comes up, and they're trying to trick Jesus. You know, which commandment is he going to pick? And so which is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus sums it up. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. To love God and to love others. That's a summary of the Old Testament. It's a summary of the law. So as we close, I wanted to ask yourself two questions. Am I loving God? Am I really loving God? Are you really submitting yourself to God? Do you really recognize His lordship? Have you gone to the mountain and recognized how small you are and how big God is? Do you trust Him enough to obey even when it may not make sense? Are you willing to practice radical obedience? When you look at your life, is my obedience to the Lord so obvious to other people that I stand out, that I look different? So are you loving God? Then the second question, am I loving my neighbor? And it's not just the people who love you, because Jesus even says, that's easy. It's easy to love those who love you. But when you think about loving others, you need to think about, do I love even my enemies? Do I love those people at school that just get under my skin? Do I love those people at work that just irritate me over and over? Do I love my neighbors who constantly are criticizing me or constantly doing something to aggravate me? Do I love that family member that constantly just seems to disrupt my life, whatever it is? Do I love my enemies? Do I truly love people? John says, you know, if you claim to love God, but you hate your brother or sister, he says, you are a liar. Because you can't love someone whom you have not seen, God, unless you've already demonstrated that you love people that you have seen, your brother and your sister. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. So do I really love God? Am I really submitting my life to God? That you, there are no other gods before me. Do I really trust you? Am I loving other people? All right, let me go back to that disclaimer. Hey, we are saved by grace. There's no doubt about that. We know that. But you know what? We can't put obedience to the side. Even Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. So we're going to sing this song that kind of sums up the greatest command. So as we sing this, I really want you to look at your own life. In what ways in my life am I not submitting myself to God? In what ways in my life am I saying, God, I think I have a better way of doing this? What ways in your life are you not trusting God to live in full obedience? And then think to yourself, in what ways am I not loving other people? How am I holding back that love to my brother and my sister? How am I living with this anxiety towards other people, this pain and this feeling of I want revenge on those people? So how am I living that out as well? So allow God to transform your mind. Let's all stand up right now. We're not going to sing just in a second. Let's all stand up right now. And let's picture ourselves at that mountain. Let's picture the smoke. Let's picture the thunder and the lightning. Let's feel the earth trembling beneath our feet. And let us feel so small. And let us recognize that God, the creator of the mountains, has spoken truth into our lives. Not because he finds this weird joy in just us obeying, but because he wants to make our paths straight. He's proven it in our lives over and over and over again. So God, help us just to fully submit to you, trusting that you are the one, the only one, who will free us. Let's sing together. Basil.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy might. Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy strength. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy might. Hear, O Israel.
Be seated, please.
Well, good morning. I want to welcome all of you here and those that may be joining us online. We're glad that you've decided to come and worship with us here at Park Avenue this morning. If you're a guest just kind of passing through or maybe visiting some family, we're glad you're here. And if you're here visiting and considering Park Avenue as a church home, or you're looking for a church home, we certainly hope that you'll find some folks here to visit with and talk with us. We'd love to visit with you about our church home here at Park Avenue. Todd, thank you, as always, for a wonderful lesson. Where'd you go, Todd? There you are. Thank you for a great lesson. Appreciate that, Basil. Thank you for leading us in our worship. Lance, thanks for helping us focus on the cross this morning. Bowen, thank you for our prayer, for your prayer. And Lance Howard, thank you for your comments this morning as well. I want to encourage us all to be mindful of the messenger. This week, as you go about your personal spiritual walk and your prayer life and your time in the Word, we've got a lot of needs in our messenger that are listed there for you. Some of those are just individual people. But I also want to encourage you to pray through each of the different ministries, the different events. We've got a busy May, as Lance said earlier. We've got a lot going on over the next month. So I'd encourage you to pray through those as well. We believe in the power of prayer. And so as a body of believers, if we will commit to, on a regular basis, praying through the needs of this congregation, the ministries and the service that's going on, we know that God will honor those prayers. I want to offer my condolences to Stuart in the loss of our sweet sister Jane. Our prayers are with you, Stuart, and your entire family. If you guys will stand as I pray. Holy Father, God, I want to begin this prayer this morning, as Todd has reminded us this morning, that you are our almighty, powerful, perfect, holy, sovereign God. So I acknowledge that. We acknowledge that as a body this morning. God, it's been a pleasure, been good to be here in this place this morning. We thank you for being present with us. We thank you for being present in our hearts and our lives every day. Father, you are our comfort, our strength. You're our provider and our encourager. Father God, I ask a blessing on the body of believers here at Park Avenue as we prepare to leave and begin a new week. Father, increase our faith and our desire to live our lives according to your word and obedience to you and to your glory and for your purposes. Father, I ask a blessing on us in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our community. Open our eyes to see the opportunities to serve this week and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in this area. Thank you, Father, for knowing us, for loving us beyond our understanding. Thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness when we fall short. And above all, we thank you for Jesus. I pray all these things through his precious name. Amen.
God gave us these commands and he gave us his Spirit so that he would be in us. He would be in us, and that we would take him with us wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, that God is with us and in us. Let's remember this week as we go about his work. You gotta take the Lord with you everywhere you go. You got to take the Lord with you. Everywhere you go, you got to take the Lord.